Film 4 presents a Pagoda film production in association with Rogue Movies Film Production. A man's mouth sucks on a large cigar. The man tilts his head back and blows swirling smoke upwards. With the participation of British Sky B and Film Berlin Brandenburg, champagne is poured into a crystal glass. A Paul McGuigan film. The man, gangster, is dressed in evening suit and bow tie. He smokes a cigar with his back to a boxing ring. Men in evening suits sit at dinner tables round the ring and shout at two boxers who circle each other, punching and jabbing with their red gloves.
You won't really fall in
what?
Love.
With Scotland Yard breathing down in it? You fuck can't off. Take
the a boxer slumps in his corner. He spits water into a basin as gangster drinks champagne.
Do me a favour.
Gangster, middle-aged with a crew cut, sits round a table with other similarly aged men who smoke and drink. The boxers exchange blows.
Solomon's. That was round the back, wasn't it? Yeah, down that alley.
We went there to meet, what's his name? Mick.
Mikey.
No, Harry. Harry. Oh,
not yeah. Harry Michaels.
That was it. Harry Michaels. Ooh. Harry fucking Michaels. Of course it was. Harry Michaels. What was it about? Ooh. Did he have some kind of problem?
What the fuck is he going on about?
No, his brother had a record business. Funny sort of name. I can see it spinning round.
They usually do, Dodgy. Yeah. Someone take him home, eh?
Barry! That was it, Barry. DRAM Records. Barry. What am I talking about?
Well, I'm fucked if I
you wouldn't think he just got out of sleep. Good
life. Gangster puffs cigar smoke into the air. Malcolm McDowell, David Thewlis, Paul Bettany, Saffron Burrows, Kenneth Cranham, Jamie Foreman, Razak Adoti, Doug Allen, Eddie Marson. Gangster watches the bout. Chandeliers hang from the smoky ceiling of the casino as waiters serve at the packed tables.
I still want you.
Gangster laughs drunkenly with the others.
Here. Talking of golden oldies, Freddie Mays is getting out next week. Be good to see old Freddie again after, what was it? 30 years?
Lock up your daughters.
Lock up your granny, more like.
Gangster's smile vanishes. He scowls as he rises from the table and walks away.
Hello? Where's he gone?
You haven't invited that cunt to the party, have you?
Do me a favour!
The trainer squeezes a cold press against the bruised and bloodied eye of his boxer. Gangster walks into the gent's toilet and stands at the urinal. He places his champagne glass at his feet. An elderly attendant cleans the chrome basins. As Gangster urinates, some of the urine splashes into his champagne glass. The attendant sits down and watches Gangster.
You done well for yourself, didn't you?
The attendant smiles as the last trickle drops into the glass. Gangster looks at him in the mirror and takes his cigar from his mouth.
Come here, Pops.
Gangster tucks three notes in the top pocket of the attendant's jacket.
Here you are, Granddad. Go get yourself a nice bird.
He pats the attendant on the shoulder. Straining his own jacket, he picks up the glass of champagne, raises it to his mouth, looks at the glass, then stares directly out.
What do you take me for? A cunt?
He drops the remains of the cigar into the champagne and walks slowly back through the foyer to the room where the boxers are fighting beneath the bright chandeliers. He leans dejectedly against a square marble pillar, which is flanked by a wall with a large stone relief depicting two rearing horses. In monochrome with grainy red streaks, the boxers punch each other. Casting by Gina Jay, costume designer Jant Tamime. Hair and makeup design Jenny Sharkour. Production design Richard Bridgeland. Executive producer Peter Bowles. Co-producers Ulrich Felsberg, Nikki Kentish-Barnes. Music composed by John Dankworth. Sound design Simon Fisher-Turner. Editor Andrew Hume. Director of photography Peter Sober ASC. Screenplay adapted by Johnny Ferguson. Produced by Norma Heyman, Jonathan Cavendish. Directed by Paul McGuigan. Blurred white letters on a black background sharpen into the word gangster. Blurred red letters become number one. Gangster number one. As a young man, gangster leans on a snooker cue at the other side of the pillar.
This is 1968. I'm playing Jack the Lad at snooker when all of a sudden, Fat Charlie's come in. Not that he was fat, because he wasn't. He was skinny. But he was called fat because his mum was fat. And it's how he was distinguished from the other Charlie, Skinny Charlie. Now, he was fat, but it was too late by then to swap it around. Anyway, he says to me,
go and see Freddie Mays.
Fat Charlie drops Freddie's business card on the snooker table.
Fucking hell. My heart was going mad. Freddie Mays. Freddie Mays, the butcher of Mayfair. The man was a legend. He'd only done a copper in Bethnal Green and got away with it, for fuck's sake. That's how you get to the top. Kill a bent cop, make a splash. After that, Freddie was king.
A high-rise concrete block the flats. Inside one of Freddie's gang, Tommy shows the young gangster into Freddie's apartment. The doors are painted gold, the walls covered with gold embossed paper, and the floor is split level.
What a place. A fucking palace.
He crosses the fawn-coloured carpet, descends four steps to a seating area, which is built in black leather settees, surrounding a large glass coffee table. He sits down. Above him, Trevor and Mad John sit on bar stools. Tommy sits on a sofa opposite him.
In he came. There he was, in those handmade Italian leather shoes. Silk socks. The suit. Do me a favour. The man was class. A class act. Style. Impeccable. What a man. I mean a real man.
All right, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah.
Because you look a bit scared, son. You scared?
No.
Trevor Snickers.
Scared? I didn't need a drink. I was drunk enough. Drunk on the smell of Italian leather. Arseholed on the smell of success.
I hear you've been hanging around with Matt John.
Yeah.
This incident last week, apparently you handled yourself quite well.
Yeah.
Trevor heard that as well, didn't you, Trevor?
Yeah.
Freddie, in his mid-20s, sips whiskey and stares at Trevor.
He thinks you're a bit of a laugh, I think.
Does he?
He's a bit of a wide boy, Trevor. A bit of an independent thinker. Enjoys taking a piss. Things that he gets up to. You see, when you work for me, you do things my way. There's no going behind my back. No going out on your own. And there's no independent fucking...
He smashes his whiskey glass against Trevor's head. He slumps to the floor.
For fucking sake.
Mad John quickly sits on Trevor's stool. Freddie wipes his hand with a hanky.
That's a word. Anyway, it appears we have a vacancy.
He throws a wad of notes, a gangster.
You're in, son.
Straight off, he gives me 500. 500 in me hands. I mean, this is 1968.
Now do me a favour. Take out the rubbish, eh?
Gangster gulps down his whiskey. Mad John lifts Trevor from behind. Gangster climbs the steps and punches Trevor in his stomach. Mad John drags him out.
And get yourself kitted out.
Gangster nods, looks in a mirrored pillow and smiles. In a tailor's shop, gangster with fair hair cut short tries on a smart blue suit, a white shirt with a red tie. He fastens his jacket top button and adjusts his shirt cuffs as he looks in the mirror.
There we were, suited up, wasted on these fucking tow rags.
Gangster, Mad John, and a black gangster called Roland stand outside a corridor of a block of high-rise flats. They spot a young man further along the corridor. The three sprint towards him. He glances at them, stumbles in fright, then flees from them towards the stairwell. The young man hurtles down a dizzy spiral staircase with the three gangsters in frantic pursuit. They tip the young man over the edge of their balcony, four floors up.
No! 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 Give me till next Thursday, please!
First train ever fucking
passed! Give me till next Thursday? Slags. It's pathetic. Fucking excuses, all sorts. From A to Z, the whole alphabet. Jokers. 2 minutes later, they're in the Green Man giving it the big un, like you're Harry the Spastic or something.
Gangster pulls a man out from under a taxi.
Hold it.
Hey, who? What's the problem?
You are. Still, nothing I can't fix with a few tools, eh?
I can't do this, the best
thing. Well, I waste my time speaking to an arsehole like you. Remember the last time we went through all this, eh? That put a smile in your face, didn't it?
Freddy carries a sledgehammer.
Have a seat, sir. Wanna have your windows in this weather?
Freddy, come on. Through to my taxi. Through my fucking taxi, you bastard.
Freddy and Gangster smash the taxi windows as Mad John and Roland hold a man down.
Don't fucking die, you bastard! You did, you bastard! Where's the you, you commies?
There you go. I've got the name of a bloke. I'll take a look at that for you. Now let's see that money, eh? By tomorrow.
Freddy and his men turn their backs and walk away. The man picks up a chisel and launches himself at Freddy. Gangster blocks the attack with his hand. Mad John and Gangster propel him headfirst into the taxi front, then stuff him under the vehicle.
Now, let's get this car back on the road, Dave.
Freddy watches his men push the taxi off its supports. It crashes on top of the man.
Now, Giggler, you stay lucky, eh?
Freddy looks at Gangster. Freddy nods approvingly.
Nice. Very nice. Creative. Like that. Deserves a drink. What's your having?
Beneath the railway arch, all four turn and walk away from the taxi. Gangster is on Freddy's right. In Fat Charlie's living room, a 45 single revolves on a record player. Tommy, the older man in his 50s, turns up the volume. Eddie and Billy, both in their 20s with long sideburns, start to gyrate to the music. Fat Charlie serves drinks from behind the bar. Girls smoke, drink and dance. One offers nibbles on cocktail sticks to Gangster. Tommy and Charlie watch Billy shuffle on a sheepskin rug. Eddie conducts everyone for the chorus as Tommy and Charlie launch themselves wholeheartedly into the singing.
And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do.
All together and dance to our champion song.
We had a good day. Well, we always had a good day. We'd end up at Fat Charlie's. The old gang of us. There was Mad John. Yeah, well, he was really mad. Billy, not so smart. Roland, always with two birds. Derek, one would do for him.
Derek kisses his girl as they dance.
Eddie, poor little Eddie. And Tommy, Freddy's old house pet. Happy as fucking monkeys in a cage. Shag pile and baby sham. No ambition. Not like Freddy. Not like me.
Gangster smokes as Tommy answers the phone. Eddie lifts a needle from the record. Tommy turns his back on a party, the phone pressed close to his ear.
Boys, get in a car. Club's on fire.
The girls are left in a smoky room. Freddy stands on the road outside the nightclub, which is engulfed by flames. His gang arrives in two cars, scattering a group of spectators onto the pavement. Tommy slams his car door and rushes over to Eddie's side.
How long have you been here?
Just got here, just pulled up.
You seen anyone?
No.
No one on the door?
Supposed to be Joe, didn't turn up. Don't know where he is.
Everyone get out all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Silly.
Mad John with a young woman in a green dress.
I'm so sorry, Freddie.
What's Freddie gonna do? Take out your bleeding wages, girl? Tell him. There were two of them. Table six. Ordered champagne. They didn't eat nothing. A couple of minutes after they left, whoosh.
Then he tell them. Regulars, were they?
All right, it was an oversight. She's obviously paid for it. All right, Angel, try and describe them.
Gangster strides past Freddie. He walks straight towards the street corner where a parked car shines its headlamps. The car reverses into the vehicle behind. The driver pulls away from the curb, and as he accelerates around the corner, the passenger in the front seat fires a shot at Gangster, who stops and stares after the speeding car.
Lenny Taylor's goons. Torch in our club.
Freddie stands impassively smoking a cigarette and watching Gangster.
Lenny Taylor, you cunt. Think you're better than Freddie Mays? Lenny fucking Taylor. You little piece of dead meat.
Pea-brain little fuck!
Freddie kicks the back of Gangster's head.
What did I say? What did I fucking say?
In Freddie's apartment, his gang sit in the sunken leather settees while Freddie paces the upper level.
Right out in the open. What did I tell you? What do you do? What are you going to do?
It was him. He was one of them.
You shut your fucking mouth!
Well, what was I supposed to do? He started the fire. He fucking shot at me.
On a crazy golf course, Gangster smashes a man's face with a putter.
Being Flash and a coon, Roland had to be different. Goes in with the shaft, bends the fucking thing. I tell a lie. Breaks the fucking thing. Bish bosh. Mad John's doing his feet with meticulous attention to detail. Billy's doing his ribs. Stone Age xylophone.
He'll be all right.
All right. All right, the cunt's in traction for the next 9 months. Might need a fucking wheelchair, plastic surgeon. All right. It is not fucking all right. It is all fucking wrong, you morons.
Saw him about a year later. Some scarring, bit of a limp, seemed all right. He bought me a drink, what can I say? He misbehaved. Got punished.
Fuck! Fuck!
Should have seen the looks we got when we brought the clubs back.
Remember what I said. This is a delicate matter. What do? You go and give it a can of handicap.
Mad John sniggers. Freddie stares sternly at him and he stops smiling. He averts his eyes from Freddie's glare.
Fucking grief you've caused me. Fuck what Freddie says, is it, eh? Is it? Well, there's a chair. Who wants it? There it is. Come on, who wants it? Come on, who wants it?
Gangster, his elbows resting casually on the back of the sofa, sits across from the chair and looks at the empty space. It's suddenly filled by the older gangster in exactly the same pose. They stare at each other. Old gangster disappears as Freddie sits down, shaking his head.
You ain't got the bollocks. None of you.
He looks straight at gangster.
And you, cunt. Striding down the road like John Wayne looking for a fucking bullet in your brain.
He stands up.
Arsehole! Now I've got to go and speak to that piece of shit, Lenny Taylor. No, no, sit down.
He points the gangster.
You. You're coming with me.
What, now?
Yes, now.
Roland frowns as gangster follows Freddy to the door. Tommy hands a revolver to gangster.
Don't use it.
Gangster puts a safety catch on and tucks the gun into the back of his trouser belt. Freddie's black Aston Martin pulls up at the curb opposite Lenny Taylor's club, the Double Six. a seedy, dilapidated brick building with broken windows on the upper floors. Freddy and Gangster get out the car and cross the road to an alleyway which leads to the ground floor entrance to Lenny's club. Gangster follows Freddy to the door, where a bouncer lets them in. The bouncer enters the club with them and closes the door. Freddy and Gangster sweep into the bar through a bead curtain. Gangster looks around the room. The lower half is painted green, the upper half red. In the middle of the dull room, they sit on red plastic chairs at two small wooden tables with brown formica tops. A brunette barmaid with thick, false eyelashes approaches Freddy from the bar behind him.
What you having?
Whiskey.
That's it.
Freddy places his gold cigarette case and lighter on the tabletop. He holds up money to the barmaid as she returns with the drinks.
No, something else.
No, that's for you.
Fucking hell. Thanks.
Lenny's long-haired henchman, Maxie, wearing a camel coat with a brown collar, strides in, followed by Lenny, a small man in a black suit wearing glasses with slick-back hair.
Well, well, well. This is nice. Hello, Freddy.
All right, Lenny.
Long time no see.
Yeah.
They shake hands. Lenny looks at Gangster.
Bobby?
Lenny moves to the bar. Maxie hovers behind Gangster. He turns and they stare at each other. Lenny carries a bottle of whiskey and two glasses to the table.
Take a walk.
Freddy lights a cigarette. Gangster swigs his drink and vacates his seat for Lenny, who places the glasses on the table as he sits.
I went to see him today.
Yeah?
Hospital.
No, no thanks.
Gangster sits behind Freddy at the bar, staring at Maxie.
Yeah, I took him out some flowers, you know, some grapes.
Nice.
Lenny places the bottle on the table and leans towards Freddy.
I should have took him out some fucking Nesquik. Cunt's got no teeth. I thought me and you sorted out our problems long ago, Freddy.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I fucking did. So what's this about, then, eh? Why are you here?
Why do you think I'm here?
Lenny lowers his head threateningly.
You want to go to war with me, Freddy? Now, what is this about?
Oi,
you wanna
look
have a
at
fucking
me.
War with me?
Don't Oi, camel cunt.
You wanna fucking go
look
to war with me?
Look at me. Look into my fucking eyes.
Like a fucking fried turkey's fucking delight. Come on, then, me and you outside. Me and you outside on the fucking cobbles, we'll have a straightener. We'll sort this out once and for all. Who's who and what's what? What, you scared? You scared?
Lenny, why don't you just sit down?
Sit down? Sit down? You fucking coming in my club and telling me to sit down? You fucking long streaker, fucking piss!
Lenny, don't fuck around. My place was petrol bombed.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it's about that, this, is it?
4,000 it cost me.
Four thousand.
Lenny grins at Freddy, then he sits down.
Oh, Freddy. Listen, when I heard about that, I couldn't have been more surprised. I was gutted.
Lenny points a finger at Freddy.
But I hope you ain't insinuating that they had anything to do with me. Is that a bit wrong? My conscience is clear.
Look at me.
Gangster glowers at Maxie. Okay.
Look into my fucking eyes.
Maxie looks away.
I wanted to come after you, Freddy. I'll fucking come after you.
Maxie lunges towards Gangster.
Maxie.
Oh, dear Maxie. Just you wait, son.
An image. A bleeding Maxie is thrown across a room.
But that's nothing compared to what happened to Lenny Taylor.
An image. A door booted open. Lenny falls to the floor.
He's a good boy, though, isn't he?
Lenny looks at Gangster.
He ain't scared, is he?
Freddy springs to his feet. Lenny squares up to him. Gangster and Maxie jump to attention. Lenny smiles and puts his finger to his lips.
All right. Now let's just say he did work for me. Did. It's not to say I gave the order, is it? Let's just say, for sake of argument, someone's come in your club. A lighted cigarette.
He holds up the cigarette and drops it on the floor.
I've dropped it in a bin.
argument and subsequent fires ensued. And let's just say, for the same sake of argument, that my man slipped in the showers. Or someone's dropped a fucking taxi on his head. And these things happen. How does that sound? Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Freddy scowls at him as Lenny stares back defiantly. He smirks, then gesticulates with his hands and elbows. His eyes bulge as he sticks his tongue out.
Come here, come here. Hey? Hey? Bobby? Bubbly. Let's have a nice little drink, hey?
Two champagne glasses clink. An image, a bloodied head of a man is thrown through exploding glass. Freddy drives his car in the rain. Gangster is in the passenger seat.
Fucking warm champagne.
Freddy shakes his head and puffs on his cigarette.
Listen, you want to go and get a proper drink?
Yeah, go on.
Right. Gangster looks admiringly at Freddy as he adjusts the control mechanism on the shiny chrome air conditioning panel. He slides a lever from fast to rich. Gangster watches him as he takes a long draw on his cigarette and blows gently on the glowing cigarette tip.
He had on that grey two-piece mohair. That was a great suit. Immaculate cut. Italian. Always with a white shirt. Always. His ruby cufflinks. I loved them. I fucking loved them. Beautiful watch. Wafer thin, solid gold. Hardly know you'd got it on. Bond Street. $2,500.
Freddy notices Gangster staring at his gold tie pin on his burgundy tie.
You like this tie pin, don't you?
Gangster averts his gaze and looks out the passenger window. Freddy pulls the tie pin out.
Yeah. Have it.
He hands the tie pin to Gangster, who is open-mouthed. He puts it in his blue tie. In the centre of the tie pin is a pearl encased by two gold letters, F and M. A horse's head crowns the pin. Gangster looks appreciatively at Freddy and he smiles. Then he looks out the window again. Freddy drives on impassively through the rain. In the foyer of a nightclub, Gangster looks through the glass partition into a cloakroom. He watches Freddy, who has his back to him. He deposits his coat. Gangster smiles as the reflection of his own head is superimposed on the shoulder of Freddy. Gangster follows Freddy to the dance floor entrance. A glamorous black girl in a shiny silver miniskirt leads them down a curved staircase to the dance floor, packed with clubbers swinging to the music. Tables surround the dance floor. The fat owner sits at the foot of the stairs eating a meal, his napkin tucked into his collar. Freddy stoops and talks closely to his ear. The owner looks at his watch, then spreads his 10 fingers wide twice. Gangster smiles as he weaves through the gyrating bodies on a dance floor, closely followed by Freddy. They sit at a table near a stage where Mel, a young dark-haired woman, dances. She wears a miniskirt made of small, shiny stainless steel plates. In the dancer's dressing room.
Hiya. Sorry I'm late. Please sit down. Fuck it. Don't worry about it. Mel went on for you.
Oh, she's really pissed off at me.
Livid. Called you everything. Fucking new girl comes in late. Second day, bleeding tart. I'm earning her fucking money for her. I'm joking. I'm not serious. I'm making it up. She don't care. What's your name again?
Karen.
A waitress pulls red wine for Freddy and Gangster at their table.
We drinking wine?
Yeah, why?
It's a bit suspect, isn't it?
Good for the blood.
Mel walks by their table. Freddy glances at her briefly. She heads for the dressing room and looks at him over her shoulder.
Freddy Mays is in. On his own?
No, with a mate.
Who's Freddy Mays? Table 2, but he's mine.
Only he don't know that yet.
Right, let's say Chateaubriand, rare, asparagus, potatoes, credin.
Bollocks.
No dessert, black coffee, espresso. It's called espresso. Might even order a cigar after. Cum. See what you make of that.
Blow your fucking mind.
You reckon?
Yeah. I'd have organised some company.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, a couple of blokes on their own, drinking wine. Bit suspect, isn't it?
The club owner walks into the dressing room, picking his teeth with a toothpick.
Mel?
And you.
What's your name?
Karen.
Right. I want a pair of you to go out there and keep Freddie Mason's goon company.
He didn't mention nothing about that in the ad.
I'm not asking you to suck him off or anything. Just keep him company. He's clean, he's well-mannered, and he's rich. And if you like him, be my guest. Fuck off and marry the cunt.
Count yourself lucky, girl. He's a nice guy. Not like most of them in here.
Mel, how many times have I told you? Don't badmouth the club. This is a class emporium.
The owner leers at Karen as she passes him on her way out.
Where are you going? I'm going to the pub.
Freddie leaves the table. Mel points out Freddie's table to Karen.
Table two, Karen. I'll be over in a minute.
Gangster cuts his steak.
Mind if I sit down?
She sits.
Suit yourself.
She pours wine for herself.
I was told you were well-mannered, Mr. Freddie Mays.
What makes you think I'm Freddie Mays?
Women's intuition. I also heard that you were quite a gentleman.
Did you now?
Yep. And that you were rich.
She looks at the typing.
So you're a fucking gold digger then?
No, I'm not a fucking gold digger. I'm a normal working girl.
So you're a hooker? Well, Freddie Mays don't pay for it.
She stares at him.
And I don't sit around in clubs taking shit from gangsters. So much for the gentleman crap. I suppose they have to talk you up. You've been a poor one, haven't they?
Karen, I want you to meet Freddie Mays.
He puts out his hand.
Hello.
She gives him a broad smile.
Hello, Mr. Mays.
She turns to look at Gangster.
You are.
He stuffs a chip in his mouth. Freddie looks at Mel and at Gangster.
Mel, why don't you treat my friend here to a dance?
Oh, fuck off. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Sorry about the table, manners. Come on.
Gangster puts down his cutlery.
Come on, it don't bite.
Mel and Gangster leave the table.
Please sit down.
Karen sits. Gangster walks moodily onto the dance floor.
Sorry about that.
Who is he?
Just a business associate.
Gangster grabs Mel roughly and he pulls her close to him. He scowls angrily at Freddie and Karen. Freddie puts a cigar in his mouth and is about to light it.
Yeah, let me do that.
She takes the cigar out of his mouth and puts it in her mouth. He holds up his gold lighter and watches as she sucks on the cigar until it lights. She hands it back to him and he smokes it.
Thank you.
Gangster, clutching Mel tight against his shoulder, glowers jealously across the dance floor.
Sorry, do you want one?
No, thank you. I have to look after my voice.
Well, set then, you're an actress.
Nah.
Could be an actress, face like that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't mention it.
No, I sing.
You sing? What, here?
No, I dance here.
Gangster scowls at the couple.
Jane, June, Jackie, Jessica, Julie. She got bumped pretty sharpish. That's the J's. On to K. K for Karen. Freddie Mays and all his skinny birds. Oh, dear, Freddie. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Sing something now. Go on, get up and sing something.
Get up and sing something? I thought you meant here at the table.
No, no. You. I mean, get up. Up on the stage.
Yeah, right. Any requests, Mr. Mays?
Freddie. Go on, I'm serious.
Well, I don't think the management would approve.
Well, don't worry about the management.
Freddie smugly puffs his cigar. Karen stares at him.
I was talking to the girls backstage.
Yeah?
Told me you was a bit of an animal.
Oh, really? Oh, did they? Did they say which bit? Did they specify?
No?
No.
Anyway, don't change the subject. Hang on.
What?
Hang on. Move.
Gangster moves out the way as Freddie leaves the table.
Just another bird. Just another skinny fucking bird.
Good evening, everyone. This is for Mr. Mays. Freddie.
Shut up.
You like it,
I said shut it.
On stage, Karen's head and body sway sensuously to the music as she sings. She wears a short, revealing dress made of large gold circular sequins with matching earrings. Her long, fair hair is tied up and her dark brown eyes are thick with mascara and false eyelashes. Gangster laughs at Freddy, who stares at Karen captivated. Gangster watches Karen, takes a long draw on his cigarette, then blows gently on its glowing tip.
Swimming in her eyes, dancing in her hair. You had to slip into her mouth, slide over her tongue, fall down her throat, deep down into her belly, right into her blood. You had to fall asleep, wrapped around her beautiful, beating heart.
Have mercy.
She looks provocatively towards Freddy, who holds his hands up and begins the applause. Gangster, cigarette in mouth, claps his hands.
Six months later, we're in the Zephyr. Me and Roland. Going past the 66.
Hold up. Park up along here.
Two men escort a third man out of the alleyway and walk towards a parked black Mercedes.
Roland's pulled over.
I know Lenny Taylor.
Yeah, but who that deal with him?
Yeah, I.
It can't be.
It is. It fucking well is. That's Eddie Miller.
Eddie and Lenny getting in the Mercedes.
Eddie? Eddie Miller? That was Eddie Miller talking to Lenny Taylor.
The concrete stairwells of a block of high-rise flats.
What would Lenny Taylor want with a little shit like Eddie Miller? Poor little Eddie. Run, rabbit, run.
Roland and Gangster follow Eddie at a safe distance as he hastily climbs a warren of steep steps that leads to his flat. He scuttles along a corridor. Roland and Gangster stride up the stairs.
I just can't believe it. That's a cool redneck, Judas. I bet you're not doing something.
You know something, Roland? I've never understood one fucking word you've ever said to me. So shut the fuck up. Let me deal with this.
Outside a blue door, Eddie fiddles with the keys. He looks around. He opens the door, then closes it behind him quickly. He glances in the kitchen and switches on the hallway light.
Sheila!
Startled, he turns round and looks at the front door. He drops his leather jacket on the floor.
Who is it?
It's a big bad wolf.
Eddie looks through the peephole.
Oh, it's you.
He pauses and he opens the door.
Oh, I was just making some sweet tea. Would you like to come? Fuck me, hello, Roland.
Gangster hangs Eddie's coat on the hook. In the kitchen, Eddie picks up a teapot.
Do you take sugar?
Sit down, Eddie.
Gangster points to a chair in the corner. Eddie sits, placing a teapot on the kitchen table. Next to him is a washing basket and an ironing board. Above, a clothes pulley. Roland stands beside the sink. Gangster sits beside Eddie. He takes a small axe from inside his jacket and he places it on the table.
What's that?
That's my favourite axe, Eddie.
Eddie's face creases with fear.
Oh, General Jesus, me and Mom, please bless all babies and make children safe at night.
Eddie, look at me.
I can't.
Eddie.
Gangster points to his own eyes.
Look at my fucking eyes. Look at my fucking eyes.
Eddie has his eyes tight shut. He slumps sideways to the floor. Gangster plucks a baby sleep suit from the pulley and whips Eddie across the face and body. He helps Eddie back onto the chair.
Come on. Sit down.
All right.
Now listen. Deep breaths.
Eddie sits with his hands on his chest, staring fearfully into Gangster's cold blue eyes.
What did Lenny Taylor want, Eddie?
Lenny.
Gangster glares at Eddie, then slaps him across the side of the face. Eddie nearly falls off his chair. He cowers back to an upright position.
What did Lenny Taylor want, Eddie?
I was having a light out and minding my own fucking business. You know me. You know what I'm like. Look, Maxie picked me up. I didn't know what they wanted. I'm a thief. I'm just a fucking thief. For fuck's sake, all that has got nothing to do with me.
You can rob your own arsehole, son.
Freddy, he's a lovely man. But he's been good to me. But as for your business, that's none of my business. I was in the Prussia, minding my own business, having a light out. The place goes quiet. I hear my name. Eddie, oh, fuck. It's Maxie. It's Maxie King, Camel Coke Nutty.
You are so fucking boring. Are you bored? I'm
what's
bored.
What's he want?
You're being boring.
Lenny Taylor wants to see me. Now I've got to go and see him. I can't not go. What am I going to do? Not go? And then what? So I'm squashed in beside Maxie and this other big bloke in the back of this Rover. No one's saying nothing. They're quiet.
Get on with it.
And they take me to this club.
The Double Six.
That's right. Oh, fuck. Look, Lenny was there, and he was asking questions about Freddy, but I told him to fuck off.
Did you?
I said, I'll have a drink, but don't go asking me questions about Freddy.
Gangster's smile evaporates. He looks seriously at Lenny.
What sort of questions, Eddie?
What sort of questions?
Gangster tilts his head at Eddie.
What sort of questions, Eddie?
I can't fucking remember.
Well, I think you better try, son, don't you?
Lenny, he reckons Freddy's losing it.
Does he?
Yeah, you know, love makes you fat sort of thing.
Love makes you fat. Go on.
But that's it. It's a lovely place, the Double Six. It's swanky. Loads of crumpet. Lenny seemed half decent, to be honest.
Did he?
Yeah, I can't remember what was said, but I do know that I didn't say nothing.
Gangster looks sceptical. Eddie looks across at Roland, who watches from the kitchen sink. Gangster points at his own eyes again.
Look at me. Look at my eyes.
Staring at Gangster's eyes, Eddie's face crumples as his eyes well up with tears.
I'm telling you the truth.
Gangster shakes his head. Eddie looks down.
Eddie. Look at my fucking eyes.
They're gonna do Freddy out! Friday, outside the candelabra! God, oh. Look, listen, I've told you, you've got to warn Freddy, you've got to tell him, please, you've got to tell Freddy, please, shall we go and tell him, eh? We're going to warn Freddy, eh?
Gangster picks up a photo of a baby from the wall and sniffs the baby's sleep suit.
I love that smell. Do you like that smell?
He looks at Roland, who stares back, confused.
That kiddie smell. It's lovely. Kids, eh? Be the fucking death of you.
He smiles and he moves his chair closer to Eddie.
Eddie, come
here. He holds Eddie's head.
Eddie, I want you to look at me. Eddie.
I can't.
Look at me.
I can't.
Snot drips from Eddie's nose.
Look at me.
I can't do it.
What have you done, eh? Look what mess you've made, eh?
Oh, look at that,
eh?
I can't.
Look at me.
Oh, fuck.
Just look at me. That's all I'm asking. Look at me. That's it. Not so difficult, was it? So.
He strokes the side of Eddie's face, then pats him on the cheek.
What?
Gangster stands and turns to Roland.
All right, Eddie.
Gangster picks up the axe from the table and he leaves.
No, I'm telling you, Lenny Taylor, he's nothing but a little...
Driving up the embankment, Roland's talking about going straight to tell Freddy. Freddy Mays. Freddy Mays. I know something you've done.
With mad, bulging eyes, Gangster opens his mouth wide and he screams silently.
Pull over, Roland. Puncture.
Outside a warehouse with a large spotlight on its roof, Roland walks round his car.
So where's this puncture then?
It's not your side. Felt like it was your side.
Roland kneels at the front passenger tyre. Gangster has the axe behind his back.
What are we nursing on?
Gangster stands over him.
What do you blood clot you idea?
What's striking your frizzy hair?
The spotlight dazzles.
Oh, fucking things.
Charlie, let me do that. You take your tea. Come on.
In Fat Charlie's kitchen, Karen takes over from Charlie's attempts to cutting bread. He lifts a tray of mugs and moves into the living room. Derek takes a mug, then Billy, then Mad John. Freddie is in the kitchen on the phone. Tommy stands between the kitchen and the living room as Karen passes him with a plate of sandwiches. She kisses him. Derek and Billy take sandwiches from the plate. Gangster watches as she puts it down on a coffee table in front of him. Freddie walks solemnly from the kitchen to the living room, tea mug in hand, shirt collar unbuttoned. Gangster picks up a sandwich and walks over to Eddie, who stands nervously in the corner. He puts a sandwich in Eddie's mouth. Freddie lights a cigarette and sits down. Eddie sits opposite him on the sofa. Billy puts a sandwich to his mouth. Mad John looks in.
Fucking headless, it said. Fucking torso.
Billy puts his sandwich down.
Imagine that, eh?
John. Karen, maybe you should go down and wait in the car, eh?
What?
Freddy stands up and glares at Gangster.
Maybe you should go down and wait in a car, eh? Take the shortcut through the fucking window.
It's all right. It's just a bit old-fashioned. If you want to be here anyway.
Karen goes into the kitchen.
You want to watch your mouth.
Gangster stands at the bar in the corner and pours a drink. Freddy sits down.
Right, what are we saying?
It's got to be him.
Well, let's take a look at it. All we know is a body's been found, a black body's been found, and one of ours is missing.
It's Roland. He's been missing for 5 days, Freddy.
Don't mean it's him, does it?
Look, what we're getting to is this. If it is him, it's them.
Look, it's 2 and 2 now, isn't it? It all adds up.
You're fucking right it does. What the fuck are we waiting for, eh? Let's go now, hit him now. We got to get ugly here, Freddy. Take the initiative. I'll show those bastards torsos. I'll cut their fucking arms off. He never deserved it. Poor bastard.
Gangster lights Eddie's cigarette for him.
Come on, Freddy. Say fucking something. Look, let's just go now. Let's just hit him now.
Hold on, John. Think about it. Why Roland? Huh? I mean, why not you? Or Tommy? Me? All of us in one go. Bang, beautiful, perfect. Fucking happy. Now that would be a takeover. That'd be nice, that I could see, but it's... don't make sense. Something does not make sense.
Maybe it was meant for me. Maybe it was meant for you!
Shut it! And another thing, what if it ain't him? What if it's someone else?
Who the fuck else?
Someone else!
Look, I just think we
should... Sit down!
What?
Right. This is what we do. We wait. All right? You all got it? We wait. We give it a couple of days. And if it don't turn up, all right. So be it. All hell breaks loose.
Charlie looks at Billy. Eddie sits uncomfortably beside Gangster, who fidgets with a gold lighter. In Gangster's bedroom, he opens his wardrobe and, looking at the inside mirror, stares intensely into his own eyes. Wearing a white vest, he reaches into the wardrobe and he pulls out a dark blue tie with 2 light blue stripes down it. He lays it neatly on top of his dark blue jacket, which lies on top of his bed. His torso is reflected in the dressing table mirror as he puts on his immaculately laundered white shirt. He fastens the buttons, then tightens the knot in his tie and pulls down the collar. From a drawer in the dressing table, he takes out a small jewellery box. His eyes are reflected in the mirror of the inside lid as he picks out a pair of dark blue cufflinks. He carefully fastens his shirt cuffs, then takes the gold tie pin with the FM motif out of the box. He puts it in his tie, then slides a revolver into the back of his trousers. Standing in the middle of the room, he adjusts his shirt cuffs. His eyes stare icily towards the door. Inside Freddy's flat.
All right, Freddy. What's going on?
Freddy moves into another room and closes the door.
He gone deaf or something?
He doesn't want to be disturbed by anybody.
Yeah, well, I don't think that means me, does it?
That's what he said. Cup of tea?
Gangster follows Karen into the main room. Two stepladders and a white sheet cover one of the walls.
Bomb, was it?
No, we're redecorating.
Oh, are we? Well, that's nice, isn't it?
Large crystals on strings hang from the ceiling.
You let a bird into your life, the next thing you know, the walls are all poof pink. There's potpourri all over the bog and knickers in your cornflakes.
So is he in there with her as her secret?
No, he's in with Tommy and Roland's sister.
They look at each other. Her eyes narrow. He glances over his shoulder, then turns to her again.
Listen, Karen. I think we might have got off on the wrong foot and that, and if it's my fault,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I'm sorry.
We can always start again. You know, you're not bad looking.
Not bad looking? Not bad looking? I'm a prince, darling.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you find yourself a nice girl? I could help if you like.
Do me a favour. I've got so many birds, they're coming out my ears. I can't even hear myself think. So what's behind this, sir?
A mosaic of a horse.
Freddy's not allowed to see it yet. What do you think, then?
Do you know, it's not a bad likeness of Freddy, is it, Evans? Nose a bit on the large side, don't he?
Very funny. You know Freddy's mad about horses, so I thought it might make a nice engagement present.
You what?
An engagement present? As in, me and Freddy? Get married?
She shows him a ring.
Didn't he tell you?
No, he fucking didn't. You want a duff or something? Can we hear the patter of tiny feet?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. You're over the moon, aren't you? Happy, happy, happy.
That's a nasty way of putting it. I've never been happier. And I'd have thought any mate of Freddy's would be happy for him too. What's your problem?
I mean, it's got a problem, darling, is it?
I'm not surprised he didn't tell you. Not exactly over the moon, are you? There's something really ugly eating away inside of you. See it in your eyes. I could see it a mile off. Well, I love Freddy. I'd kill for that man. And I don't give a fuck, as you might say, whether you approve or not. I'm going to look after him, whatever it takes. Do you understand me?
Keep your fucking knickers on.
She spits in his face. He's rooted to the spot, his right arm outstretched, his mouth open.
Do you understand?
As the saliva trickles down his face, he blinks several times, then he looks at her blankly.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He smiles, then he wipes a spit from his face.
Yeah. I wish the best for you. Really hope you're happy to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Congratulations. Tell Freddy I'll cash out with him later. Tell him, you know, I'm happy for him, for the both of you. And, Karen?
He turns side on and leans towards her slightly.
Take good care of him, eh?
He gazes at her. Then he turns and walks out. Perplexed, she watches him leave. In daylight, Gangster sits in the driver's seat of his car, adjusting his shirt cuffs. The car is parked along the road from the Candelabra Club. His face is reflected in the glass of the driver's door window. He stares into the rear mirror.
Well, what was he gonna do? Crack open the bubbly, smiling from ear to ear. I'm getting engaged. Cool, blimey, you ain't. Fuck me, nice one, congrats. You kept that under your hat, you romantic old so-and-so. And I'm thinking, love makes you fat poof.
At night, under the streetlights, Freddy's car pulls up opposite the nightclub. Gangster watches Freddy and Karen in the rearview mirror as they get out of the car. Freddie wears a grey suit, Karen a short dress. Freddie kisses her as they cross the road. Gangster smokes as he looks in the rear mirror. Near the nightclub, they pass a man with his arm around a woman, walking the other way. The man suddenly turns on Freddie and he points the gun at him. Freddie doubles up in pain. Karen sits on the ground, screaming. The man tries to shoot Freddie again, but the gun jams. Lenny's men jump out the car and attack Freddie. One hits him with a baseball bat. Lenny grabs the gun from the man as Karen launches herself at the thugs. Lenny marches over to the club entrance. He points the gun at the doorman and retreats. Knife in hand, Maxie grabs her from behind. Maxie slits Karen's throat. She slowly slumps to the ground, blood gushing from her throat. Lenny signals to his men to dump Freddie on the ground. He points the gun at him. Lenny and his gang walk away. Freddie lies twitching on the ground.
What a comedy. What a skirmish. Look at his suit now. Tatters.
Lenny's car speeds away.
The bird's fucked, but Freddy's still twitching. He starts to move. He tries to get up. Falls back. Oh, hopeless. Tries again. Go on, son. No. He's pulling himself along the pavement. Trail of blood like a bleeding slug. Come on, Freddy, 2 more yards. Fucking lying there on your leather settee.
Gangster grins sadistically.
That's it, Romeo. Go on, give her a kiss. Work the old magic.
Freddie lays his head on Karen's chest. She looks at him and holds the back of his head. As Gangster speeds through a tunnel, the lights reflect brightly on the front windscreen. He stares ahead, then rolls his eyes upwards and blinks.
I've got a machete on the back seat, a chopper on the passenger seat, and this old Beretta tucked in my trousers. And I'm fucking happy. Green light. Green light. Green light.
He drives into a basement car park.
I pull up outside where Lenny Taylor lives. 124 Jubilee Mansions. Here's me, outside where Lenny Taylor lives. Axe. Gun. I'm out of the car. Walking. See a car. Pick it up. MOT. Throw it 1,000,000 miles. Walking. Door. Corridor. Lift. I'm Superman. King fucking Kong.
He steps into the lift and presses a button. He stares out menacingly from behind the closing doors.
I'm filling up. I'm filling up.
His mouth opens wide, teeth bared in a silent scream.
Fifth floor. Stop. Open. Out. Corridor. Walk in. Machete. Axe. Gun, chisel, tools, 118, fucking leather settee, 120, fucking handmade shoes, 122, draw back the hammer, 124, coming up to an electric, I'm terrible. We're in.
Don't mind if I do, Lenny.
Using a silencer, he shoots Lenny in the leg. Lenny topples to the floor, then watches Gangster as he strides across the living room carpet and boots him viciously.
Bastard, you!
Gangster takes a hanky out of his jacket pocket, covers his hand with it, then turns up the volume of the record player.
I'll never let you go. Why? Because I love you.
You better make a fucking good job of this, boy. You better make a fucking good job of me.
He smashes a gold carriage clock in Eleni's face.
Oh, you bastard!
Gangster walks over to a table and places his revolver and bag on top of it. At floor level, Lenny watches as Gangster unravels a toolkit with a selection of chisels inside it. He takes a knife out from the bag. He takes an axe, some hammers, and some hooks out of the bag, covers his hand with a hanky again, and turns a light switch to make the room brighter.
You say I'm your special treat. Why? Because you love me.
Would you lost your fucking ball, have ya?
We are love. Yes, a love that's yours.
Lenny sticks his tongue out at him. Gangster takes his jacket off, then loosens his tie. Lenny throws his spectacles across the floor and grips his bleeding leg, mouthing the words of the song. Gangster takes his tie off and folds it neatly. He unclips his cufflinks and unbuttons his shirt. Lenny beckons to him.
I love you.
He places his shirt over the back of the chair, then unfastens his belt. He takes his shoes off and places them neatly side by side. He slips off his trousers, then folds them carefully, keeping the crease straight. He takes his black socks off and smiles at Lenny. In his underpants and vest, Gangster picks up an axe. Gangster runs across the room and embeds his axe into Lenny's leg. He pulls the axe out of his leg, then he picks up a bottle and smashes it over Lenny's head. Gangster steps over him, blackout.
Oh, what do you fucking want, Harry?
Gangster, splattered with blood, attacks him with a frenzy of punches to the head. Blackout.
Where do you fucking think I'm? Where are you going? Don't you fucking run away from me?
Gangster leans over him, silently laughing. Lenny in and out of blackouts.
You're a fucking... Don't you fucking die on me, Lenny. Lenny, you're not making fucking sense, Lenny. I can't hear you.
Gangster puts his ear close to Lenny's mouth. Blackout. Lenny looks up into the bright living room light. Gangster's blood-spattered head moves into the glare as he stands over Lenny. Blackout. With a knife in hand, Gangster kneels down beside him. Blackout. Gangster in his vest, saturated with blood, grimaces with effort as he levers a knife up and down. Blackout. He leans over Lenny and points to his own eyes. Two rapid consecutive blackouts. Gangster moves from a kneeling position to a squat. He grabs Lenny and rolls him over. Lenny lies face down on the patterned carpet. Blackouts. Gangster lifts Lenny off the floor. He points him towards a glass-fronted drinks cabinet in the corner. Then he propels him headfirst into the glass. Blackout. Gangster sits covered in blood in an armchair, his left leg stretched out.
Who are you? Nothing. You're nothing. Look at you lying there like a piece of meat. Meat.
Gangster stands in his bath, having a shower. An axe, a knife and a machete lie in a pool of blood at his feet. He breathes deeply as the water cascades down his face and blood dribbles down behind his ears, neck and back. He leans against the tiled walls with both hands. He turns his head quickly towards the door and stares. He picks up the machete and, concealing it behind the door frame, stands at the side of the door.
Who is it?
Tommy.
Gangster opens the door.
Get dressed.
Oh, what's wrong?
I'll be in the car.
Tommy turns away and Gangster closes the door. In Tommy's car.
You gonna tell me what this is all about or what?
Freddie and Karen were jumped outside the candelabra.
You what?
They cut Karen's throat.
Fuck me. And what about Freddie?
Tight-lipped, Tommy drives on as Gangster turns and looks at him. Tommy pulls into the covered parking area of a hospital. A plainclothes detective dressed in a suit rests his arm on the roof of Tommy's vehicle. He bends down to talk to him. The window is wound down.
Right, it's like this. He's not dead, but he's in a bad way. He's been cut to ribbons, 300-something stitches, shot 3 times. He's on the lot, morphine, you name it. Now, they're going to try and operate again in the morning. It's touch and go, but he's strong. No.
Tommy tries to get out of the car.
Look, you fucker. I want to see Freddy. I want to see my mate.
Not possible. They won't let you see him. There's a situation. A
fucking situation.
A serious fucking situation, Tommy boy.
Fuck off.
Listen to me closely, Tommy. Lenny Taylor has been killed. Tonight, hacked to death at home. Do you understand what that means? Christmas has come early for my colleagues up there. They're charging Freddy with murder. It's perfect. I've been after him for a long time. It's a win double.
Freddy killed Lenny.
But what it comes down to is Freddy's finished. Now piss off.
Oh yeah? I want to see Freddy.
Tommy, for fuck.
You are some cunt. He's just money right, to you,
Tommy.
Innit?
Tommy.
They're an admission point for this fucking freak show.
Tommy, leave.
Is that it?
Tommy, calm down.
Is that it? Tommy. Is that fucking it?
Fuck off. Fuck off.
He throws notes out the window, then drives off. Daybreak. The car is parked in the inside lane of a dual carriageway. Tommy lurches out the car.
Tommy?
Bent double, Tommy shuffles to the front of the car.
Go on, mate.
Tommy's sick.
Oh, Jesus.
Gangster offers him a hanky.
All right, son. Good. Put that in your hand, don't you? All right, mate.
Tommy holds the hanky close to his mouth as Gangster pats him on the back.
Oh, fella.
Tommy's face is contorted with grief.
Caesar.
He leans against Gangster's chest.
Old Judge Mumley said in all his however many fucking years, the murder of Leonard Bertram Taylor. He laughed. Silence in court. Was the most barbaric case he'd ever had the misfortune to try. Judge told Freddie he was an animal and gave him 30 years to serve a minimum of 25. How's that?
Take him down.
In the dock, Freddie stares up a gangster in the gallery.
British justice, eh?
Freddie leaves the dock. He descends to the cells.
Poor old Freddie.
In Freddie's flat, the gold mosaic of the horse's head is on the wall behind the leather settee.
The king is dead.
I told you, I fucking told you. Someone should listen to me for a fucking change. None of this would have
all right,
happened.
All right, John, all right, you was right. Well, so what? It's no fucking good to us now.
Fucking right I was right.
Come on, Tommy. Maxie, what's his fucking fate? That's what we're here for, right? Rather than all this old fanny.
Don't be fucking stupid. Don't you call me fucking
right,
stupid,
come on. He's right. We can't go fucking near him. Anything happens to Maxie, we're all fucked.
There's no way. There's no way on this fucking earth is that cunt, that fucking cunt, gonna do what he done to Freddy and get away with it. There's no way he's going to avoid me.
John.
There's no fucking way.
It's a very difficult time. I'm trying to deal with it as best I know. This ain't helping.
He's dead. He's fucking dead.
All right,
dead.
All right. Just calm down. Everyone, just fucking calm down.
Act like men. Use your fucking love.
Gangster sniggers into his whiskey glass as he stands looking out the window. Tommy stares at him.
You got something to say?
Gangster turns and looks at Tommy, who rises from his seat.
Because if you have, say it.
I want to hear it. Fucking say it.
You sure?
Fucking say it.
He's right. You're wrong.
Fucking right, I'm right.
Gangster strides from the window and, keeping his eye fixed on Tommy, descends the stairs and walks over to him. He towers over Tommy.
You son, I'm not up to it.
I don't fucking know, Tommy. You tell me.
You cunt! I'll fucking...
You fucking know.
He leans in close to Tommy.
What? What are you gonna do? Start crying.
Tommy looks at him briefly, then lowers his head.
Sit down, Tommy.
Gangster turns away from him.
Don't worry. Get Tommy a drink, eh?
Under the mosaic, Gangster sits down, crosses his legs and drapes his arm along the back of the settee. Darren goes to the bar. Tommy remains seated.
The king is dead. Long live the king. 1970, a new decade. No more Double Six. No more Freddy. No more Lenny.
Gangster electrocutes Maxie's testicles.
Bye-bye, Maxie.
Gangster propels Maxie across the room and hurls him through the window. Tommy and Mad John are in a parked car below. Maxie's body hits the ground. Blood splatters the windscreen.
Fucking monster.
Tommy flicks his cigarette out the car window in disgust. Gangster, in a vest and underpants, looks down from the broken window. In monochrome, turning to colour, the older gangster watches the boxers in the casino batter each other around the ring. He turns and strides towards the foyer. An explosion of fire and flames engulf him. Young gangster emerges from the blaze, his face and body skewed behind square patches of glass.
If you don't know what's going on, behind this disguise. 1972.
Gangster's men burst out of a security van.
Nothing can touch us. We're moving, raking it in. Way out of Freddy's league. Saw a thing he'd never dreamed of.
Wearing masks and carrying shotguns, they loot a bank vault. Forcing the guard to the ground, they throw the sacks in the back of the van.
1st of January, 1973. Grand opening, the casino. Black tie. Freddy always said gambling was for mugs. It is. Took $2 million the first year.
The traps open at the start of a horse race.
Never understood that thing Freddy had for the horses till I bought one. Brown bomber. Earned me a packet. Then disaster. It won.
A priest sprinkles holy water over a coffin.
76. Tommy's wife dies. So he retires. Lost his bottle since Freddy got all banged up. 77.
Sid Vicious gives the V sign.
78, 79, 80, 81. I've got 300 people working for me. Top that, Mr. Mays. 82 to 86, cocaine. A fucking fortune.
Mad John snorts cocaine.
Don't you fucking know? I love this beer, eh?
87, 88, Billy offends me.
A car chases a naked Billy.
The one good thing I learned from Freddy, keep your own house in order. 93, Maggie's children suffer the consequences of the 80s. Don't we all? Do we fuck? Business is as good as ever. Poor little merchant bankers. Still got enough for a little toot, though.
Mad John angrily pushes a trolley in a supermarket. He stops by the banana counter.
94. Not such a good year. Mad John murders his wife in domestic. Nothing I could do about it. As it happens, in the supermarket. Fucking sad way to go down. Taken out of the fucking place like a poxy junkie shoplifter. Last of Freddy's boys. End of an era. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 99.
Older gangster leaves the casino and flags a taxi.
Freddy Mays is back. Lock up your daughters.
He climbs in, closes the door, and the taxi moves off. The white glare of the oncoming traffic and the red neon lights shine on his face.
Well, Freddie, all those years, how's it been, son? Tough? Was it tough? Tough on you, hard a bit. Still, for my part, just like to say, Freddie, congratulations. You're out, fitting well, and I'm happy. Ah, fuck off. Look at me now, Freddie. You want a job? Me and you, Freddie?
The taxi window reflects his face.
Just like the old days.
The taxi pulls up outside the neon-top pagoda gateway to Chinatown. Gangster gets out the taxi and pays the driver. Inside a dull, shabby gambling den, a small Chinese boy carries a wooden tray of drinks to a table where a group of Chinese men and one woman play cards. Gangster walks into the room. Eddie, with grey, receding hair, sits at one end of the table talking to a young, bald Chinese man. Eddie smokes as Gangster approaches. Eddie on the shoulder.
Hello.
It's been a while, eh, Eddie? We really should catch up. It'd be nice catching up. Let's catch up.
Oh, man, well.
Good, great, magic.
He looks at Eddie's cards and puts a chip on the table.
Oh. What the fuck is going on with Freddie, mate? When did he get out?
Wednesday. Do you mind if I get back to work?
No. Let's go somewhere more private.
Eddie takes his cigarette out of his mouth. On top of the building, they stroll along a walkway above a glass-paned roof.
I don't like it. Nobody told me he was getting out.
You will know about the wedding, then?
Wedding? What fucking wedding?
Freddie's wedding. Everyone will be there. There's Will too from what I hear. He's got a BA. Bachelor of Arts.
Well, who's he marrying anyway? Somebody you met in a nick?
Karen, you remember? Singer, lovely face, throat cut, nearly died.
Gangster stops, looks to the side, then follows Eddie along the walkway. They descend to a dingy alleyway littered with cardboard boxes, crates and bins.
Eddie, you ever kill somebody, Eddie?
How do you mean?
Well, you know, like, kill them.
What, like, dead?
Yeah, dead.
I'd have to say no.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to.
I think you could, if it was somebody you really hated, you know?
What, like, then it's done something like to me and my family?
Yeah. Now, look, I want to ask you a question. No ifs or buts. I want a straight answer. Who, if you had to choose, would you sooner kill? Me or Freddie Mays?
Truth.
Yeah, truth.
Eddie leans towards Gangster.
You.
Gangster stares at him and blinks. His mouth twitches. He turns and walks away.
Sorry.
Eddie follows him.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, far away.
Why haven't you killed me?
Who says I'm not going to?
Gangster walks away from Eddie, who stands rooted to the spot. At the top of a steep flight of stairs, Gangster's figure is silhouetted in the doorway. The light behind him casts a long shadow on the wall of the stairwell. He adjusts his shirt cuffs as he descends. In a busy bar, a group of men watch football on a large screen TV in the corner. Gangster walks through the throng, his smart suit standing out from the casual clothes of the pub customers. He pauses to adjust his tie, lightly touches his jacket lapels, then walks to the rear of the pub, weaving his way between the bodies. In the far corner, Karen sings, microphone in hand. She wears a light blue pencil skirt, a cream high neck top and a blue cardigan. Her shoulder-length hair is permed. Gangster emerges from the crowd and watches her. Karen spots Gangster and freezes. He stares at her and grins. She lowers the microphone from her mouth and glowers at him with disgust. He leers at her with bulging eyes.
Karen?
She hands the microphone to the compere and walks over to the bar.
Karen. Imagine bumping into you after all this time. Must be what, 25,
you know exactly
30 years?
How long it's been.
Well, I thought maybe you were dead.
He looks at her high neck top.
Oh, healed up nice.
He points to her neck. She slaps his hand and glares at him.
I know why you're here. You just stay away from Freddie. He don't want to see you. He don't want to hear from you. He don't want to smell you in your cheap fucking aftershave. Me and Freddie have waited too long for some evil ponce to fuck things up.
That's not very ladylike, is it?
Fucking fuck. You stay away. I told you I'd kill for Freddie.
Oh, yeah. You told me a lot of things. You're not a bad-looking bloke. Why don't you find yourself a nice girl? What makes you think that you're so special? You know, I wouldn't mind a wife, someone to love. I deserve some love. I want a Valentine's card. I don't care if she is a slag. I'll look after her, all right? Spoiler, buy her stuff. Maybe I'd like to settle down sometime, eh? But nobody ever thinks about that, do they? I mean, nobody ever thinks about me! Well, fuck you! You tell Freddy I want to see him, or there'll be consequences. Serious fucking consequences.
He barges through some customers.
Get out of my fucking way, you cunt!
Karen looks nervously from side to side. In Gangster's flat, he sits on his settee, smoking.
So, Freddy?
He blows gently on the glowing tip of his cigarette.
Heard you was getting hitched. Getting yourself a ball and chain.
He takes a drag. He looks across the room and leans back.
No, I didn't get no invitation. Man, not to worry. I couldn't have gone anyway, business. Still, hope it all goes well. And for my part, Freddy, I'd just like to say, congratulations. You're out. Fitting well. And well,
He lifts his glass.
Here's to you.
He points his glass to the empty settee opposite him. Outside the towering block of flats, thin white clouds scud across the bright blue sky. In the apartment, Gangster is sprawled across the settee, fully clothed, the top button of his shirt undone, a tie askew. Young Freddy is reflected in the mirrored pillars as he strides into the room, which is still decorated with the gold embossed wallpaper and the gold horse mosaic. The reflection changes to old Freddy, his hair grey and receding. He wears a dark suit and tie and carries a raincoat draped over his arm. He emerges slowly from the side of the pillar and stands on the upper level staring down at Gangster, who turns and looks up at him. Freddy frowns.
Love what you've done over the place.
Gangster stares up at him, smiles and nods his head.
Sit down, Freddy.
He points to the opposite settee. Freddy descends the stairs and sits down. Gangster levers himself to a sitting position, clasps his hands between his legs and stares at Freddy.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Gangster's forced smile changes to a fierce glare as he crosses the floor to stand over Freddy. He stares at Gangster, who looks at the raincoat, then lifts it from Freddy's arm. Gangster wears a tie pin with the FM logo. He turns away from Freddy and, as he climbs the stairs to the bar, dumps a raincoat at the back of the settee.
Got a cup of tea?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Freddy leans back in the settee, straightens his tie and sighs. He watches Gangster as he goes in the kitchen behind the bar. Freddy looks around the room. Gangster pours water from the tap into a mug, opens a bag of sugar and pours it into a bowl. Freddy sips the tea from the mug and grimaces. Gangster stands over him, watching. Freddy glances up at him. A flicker of a smile flits across both their faces.
So, Freddy, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Freddy nods and places the mug on the coffee table.
Look, what do you want?
Gangster looks away from Freddy to the other side of the room, then stares back at him.
I hear you're getting married.
At some point, yeah.
Gangster picks up two large wads of money from the coffee table. He strides over to Freddy and holds him out.
A little something. Go on, take it. Go on, take it. It's for you, take it.
Freddy sits still. Gangster stares at him.
Freddy, I want you to take it. I want you to take the money. I took your money, you take my money. It's for you.
Freddy sits motionless, glaring at him. Gangster's arm remains outstretched. He stares grimly at Freddy. Then he tosses the money into the air.
Don't take it.
Freddy looks away as Gangster bends down and leans towards him.
What do you want? Oh, the flat, is that it? You want to move in? You and Karen?
Yeah.
Cozy Karen?
Well, take it.
I'm out of here. Redecorate.
He flings a picture across the room.
Why not? Huh? New carpet, lick of paint. Lovely. Patter of tiny feet. Yeah, well, you're probably past it. Can't get it up. And she's no spring chicken. Probably come out all twisted and mental. Baby Freddy, spastic. Well, she's barren, probably all dried up. But you could always adopt.
He stands on the upper level looking down at Freddy.
What do you want?
Freddy lowers his eyes. Gangster glances at the ground and glares at Freddy.
The shoes, is it? The handmade fucking shoes? Here. They're yours. Have them. Here. Take them. They're yours. Typing. Oh, you like the typing? Oh, fuck me. It's even got your initials on it. Take it. Have it. Here, it's yours. Have it. You're mad. No. It's you. You drive me fucking nuts, you do.
I don't want your flat, I don't want your shoes, and I don't want your fucking typing.
He flicks the typing back at Gangster.
That Freddy's dead.
What is it with you? I mean, where are you coming from? Explain it to me, because I'd like to know. Really, I would. I want to know. What have you got that I haven't got? I've done better than you. I'm the better man. Wasn't me. I spent fuck knows how long inside fucking Professor. What? You think I wouldn't kill you? Do you think that, do you? Just because it's you, is that what you think, is it? Oh, I can kill somebody. It's easy. It's easy to kill somebody. It's nothing.
With his arm draped along the back of the settee, Freddy stares at Gangster.
I avenged you.
Young gangster in bloodied vest.
I didn't want to kill Lenny Taylor.
Freddy glowers at him.
I did not want to kill Lenny Taylor.
Young gangster covered in blood, tears in his eyes.
I didn't enjoy it. It had to be done. Somebody had to do it.
Freddy nods and smiles.
Yeah. Karen spent the past 30 years telling me the whole thing stank of you.
Gangster strides across the floor, climbs the stairs, opens a desk drawer and takes out a revolver. He descends the stairs, walks over to Freddy and places the gun on his lap.
Take it. Take it. Pick it up. There it is. Pick it up. Shoot me. Shoot me! Shoot me, you cunt! Who do you think you are? Pathetic.
Oh, yeah, I was vain. I was a prat. Handsome Freddie Mays, butcher of Mayfair. What a load of old cobblers. Who'd want to be Freddie Mays?
Gangster remembers fingering the typing.
Fuck off.
You're a nutter.
Yeah, well, they ain't going away, so you may as well kill me. Come on, kill me! Come on! For old time's sake, down memory lane and all that.
He remembers Freddy being shot.
I was there.
He kneels close to Freddy on the settee.
Get your hands off her. Karen! Maxie, please, no. Not the girl. Not the girl, no. Sound familiar? You crawling around in your own blood. Pathetic. Hilarious. Maxie's got his knife out.
No!
Come on. Come on. Now
Cassie with his blade, digging at her flesh, ripping that lovely throat.
Gun!
And you going, shoot me, like a sick cow. Come on, Freddy. Come on. Come on, Freddy, two more yards. What? What's that she's saying? What's that?
Freddy grabs a gun and points at the gangster's stomach.
What? Does she still love you? With your pruny bollocks and your old bird's hair?
With arms outstretched, he turns, slide on to Freddy.
Handsome Freddy Mays.
Freddy's hand shakes as gangster climbs the stairs.
How can she still love you, seeing what you are? I mean, what are you, a cunt? What are you, milky tea?
He stands in front of the window. Freddy's outstretched arm points a gun at his back.
Come on, Romeo. Give her a kiss. Work the old magic.
Freddy's arm remains rigid.
Come on, Freddy.
With gritted teeth, gangster stares out the window.
Come on, my son.
Freddy still points the gun at his back.
Shoot me. Shoot me.
With his head cocked to one side, gangster spreads his arms wide. Freddy, breathing deeply, slowly lowers his arm and smiles.
No. I'm just an old man in a crab suit.
He places the gun on the settee.
I like it that way.
He fastens his jacket button, picks up his raincoat, turns and climbs the stairs, heading for the door. Gangster looks out the window. He grimaces. Then he twists his body round to glare at the empty room. Close to tears, he screws up his face, then turns and walks towards the balcony. Down on the ground floor, brick concourse, Freddy strides over to Karen and they embrace each other. Gangster stares down at them, the rain streaked concrete balconies rising steeply above his head. He steps back into the flat through the long vertical blinds and stands in front of a glass screen patterned with gold squares. He puts his fist through the glass, stares down at his hand, then turns away from the broken screen. Blackout. He sits on the floor, smoking, staring straight ahead.
One day I'll catch up with you. You want a war? I'll give you a fucking war one arm tied me on my back. I'll shoot you. I'll blow you to kingdom come. They'll need a dustpan and brush. Scrape you off the walls. Make mincemeat out of you. Pie and mash puddles of blood. I'll leave you lying there. Garrot a lot of you. Calling me a cunt.
Calling me a cunt. You calling me a cunt. You cunt. I'll fucking kick you. I'll kick fuck out of you. I'll kick you to fuck you. Fuck you!
Rip your face off. I'll fucking... I'll fucking... burn you.
Standing on the ledge of the apartment block roof in his vest and pants, gangster sets fire to a handful of money.
Freddy Mays. Freddy Mays. I don't need you, Freddy. Who am I?
He totters on the ledge, arms outstretched, the money in flames.
I'm Superman! King fucking Kong! I can pick you up and throw you a million miles.
He looks down, then raises a single finger.
I'm number one.
Young gangster points to his eyes.
Number fucking one. I'm number one. Number fucking one! Number one! Number one! Number one! Number one! Number one! Number one! 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 Number fucking one! I'm number one!
Fuck you!
He remembers shouting at Lenny Taylor and kicking him in the face. Young gangster is reflected in the wardrobe mirror as he closes its door. Staring at the London skyline, old gangster wobbles on the ledge.
Number one.
He steps off the ledge. Blackout. The charred remains of his money float into the night sky. The lights of office blocks and the illuminated dome of St. Paul's Cathedral shine in the distance.
The good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel.
This audio description script, commissioned by Film 4, was written by Patrick O'Kane, narrated by Sean Pertwee and produced by Carol McGregor for IADA Limited at Murrican & Murrican, Glasgow, July 2000. Cast: Gangster, Malcolm McDowell. Freddie Mays, David Thewlis. Young Gangster, Paul Bettany. Karen, Saffron Burrows. Tommy, Kenneth Cranham. Lenny Taylor, Jamie Foreman. Roland, Razak Adoti. Mad John, Doug Allen. Eddie Miller, Eddie Marson. Fat Charlie, David Kennedy. Maxie King, Andrew Lincoln. Billy, Cavan Clerkin. Derek, Johnny Harris. Trevor, Anton Valenci. Produced by Norma Heyman and Jonathan Cavendish. In association with NFH and Little Bird Productions. Directed by Paul McGuigan.
Please remember, I still want you. And in case...